You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 140th Real Reading Podcast with me, Tom Canning, and my special guest this week, Dave Moore. Dave is has been a semi-regular on the podcast. He is the promoter within Heavy Pop, one of the, is it fair to say, independent promoter, music promoters within the town? One of or the? What's the right term there, Dave?
One of, I think.
One of. Yeah. Name me the others.
Well, Sid Siddall, Club Lost City, yep. Independent. And there's a few others. I don't actually, though, I'm not sure at the top of my head actually how many others do it as a full-time thing, though.
Ah, okay. Well, that, no.
Like Jack the Turtle, you know, he's independent, he's at freelance, etc.
Only interested in people who do it properly, you know, use it to put...
Well, no, it's all valid. It's all valid, I'm just saying, but, you know. depends how far you want to push the independent thing, do you know what I mean?
But, make sure you give us a follow on Twitter, Real Reading Pod, and join our Facebook group, the Real Reading Fobcast podcast group. I'll get there. It's been a long, long week. So this week we've got Dave. We're going to chat a little bit about the music scene within Reading, how it's coping, and the events that he's managed to put on two big events since what was known as Freedom Day. I'd completely forget. Everybody was so excited about that, and I've completely forgotten there was even a whole day. I think people did Facebook events. Yeah. How free do you feel? I don't know. I've got a cold, so I don't feel free at all.
There's some graffiti around where I live that's just I think it's been put on by like sort of school paint, like wet paint, and it says, I think it says, you're not free till we're all free, or something along those words.
Oh, deep.
Yeah.
So deep. Fair enough. So just before we get into all of that, I just wanted to let everybody know they can get in touch with us. And here is Jeremy with How You Can.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod. And join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy. I'm definitely sure I need to update the email address in that. I imagine there's hundreds of people sending us emails, and I'm pretty sure the email address is wrong. But I have not gone back and revisited it for quite some time, mostly because I haven't seen Jeremy for a little while. But we'll try and get that updated. So, Dave, you have had a busy little time, and I think I forgot in that introduction to say we are going to speak to your rival in music promotion, your bitter rival, the man that you cannot stand to look at, Pete Wheeler.
I can't say his name.
No. Is it right that he stole the Market Yard promotion job from under your very thing? You were just about to sign it and he ripped it from your grasp. Is that right? Is that
true? Oh, no, that's absolute rubbish. No,
okay. My sources are...
I love Pete, really. It's just as good as to pretend there's,
I think it's good for
New York scene, back in the 80s or whatever.
It's good. It's good for business.
Yeah, Studio 54 versus everyone else. And
well, hopefully, we'll be talking to Pete a little bit later about the Market Yard. But I wanted to get, as I said in the intro, I wanted to get your kind of views on what's going on, what's likely to happen. But in the meantime, as we mentioned, since Freedom Day, you've put on Down at the Abbey Festival, and you've also put on Are You Listening Festival across a bunch of venues across town. Did they work, Dave? Did they go as planned?
Did they work? Well, they both happened, which is a massive achievement in itself, considering what we a lot of other people have been through in the last couple of years of wherever it's been going before. So yeah, we were really proud to be able to do both. Actually, Downton Abbey was definitely the more challenging, being an outdoor event. Obviously, COVID has changed things, so there was a lot more admin, a lot more health and safety and a lot more other things that we need to consider to put into place. And also, Downton Abbey was the first event we've done since I think like February, March, but you know, in 2020. So
yeah,
I wouldn't recommend to anyone if you haven't done an event for nearly 2 years, don't do an outdoor festival straight away. You might want to it's not the easiest warm up. It was quite a shock to the system, but yeah, we did it. Like, you know, we're really, really proud that we managed to pull it off despite, you know, circumstances. I mean, even talking about the Freedom Day, even back then, the summer, it was still a bit unsure whether, you know, sort of outdoor events and outdoor events with certain capacity we were going to be allowed to go ahead. And, you know, the rules were kind of still are in some cases a bit sort of blurred. So it was quite difficult in the run up to it to kind of plan with real conviction till a bit nearer to the time when things started to settle down and some other things were going on. But like I said, yeah, really proud of most of it. And also, I think one of the things that was quite heartwarming was just seeing people out again, actually, and just kind of bumping into their mates. And that's the same with iListening, which was only like 4 weeks afterwards, was the kind of, now you're seeing the bands and seeing all the venues nice and busy, but it was just seeing people kind of bump into their mates, like kind of forget that was a regular thing when it started. You know, you might go out with a group of people and then bump into someone else and, you know, and whatever. And that's happening as much, but maybe that, you know, maybe that's starting to come back a bit more, I don't know. But yeah, so yeah, really chuffed managed to do both of those. It's been quite full on, shall we say, but like, you know, but at the same time, grateful that we've been able to do it at all, really. I mean, there's a lot of other festivals, especially ones a lot bigger than us, you know, because ours are tiny compared to, you know, the Reading festivals and all those sort of guys. Just really pleased we were able to do it at all, really. And and hopefully, you know, we can kind of plan next year with things being more settled and, you know, more conviction that hopefully, you know, well, I hope things cross over the worst of it anyway. And then, yeah, next year will be a better year for everyone.
How many times did you have to rearrange? Because I know you had to rearrange Are You Listening a couple of times. How many times did Downton Abbey get rearranged?
Just the once, because that's part of a license, so
yeah,
we just moved it from one into the other. iListening, I think we moved it 3 times, I think, or maybe it's the fourth time when it actually happened. Like, I kind of lost count, like, yeah. And also, it's quite funny, actually. Well, no, funny is the wrong wording, but when we went to reschedule it, like in March 2020, the first time. We were talking about, oh, we'll just move it, like try and move it for a couple of months, you know, like May, June, you know, like push it back a little bit because no one really understood what was around the corner, really. And then it turned out that because we knew so many venues, trying to get a date that works for everyone is quite challenging in itself. So it ended up being October. And I was like, oh, it's ages away, like, okay, fine, you know. And then obviously we all know what happened.
Yeah.
And then we moved back to April, and then to October again, and now we're just in the process of just confirming 2022's date. Just waiting to hear back from some of the venues, because hoping to announce that hopefully next week or very soon.
So you obviously had obviously an awful lot going on, and there's a lot that you've already done. You kind of got your finger in quite a few pies over various different things. What's the general music scene in Reading like at the moment? Is there a lot going on? Is it sort of quite tentative? What are we seeing at the moment?
I think it's a bit broad in the sense, I think kind of smaller shows start to happen a bit more. Like, I know that the Face Bar, for example, is quite busy in various events. I think it's quieter for touring bands, at least in Reading at the moment. And I think it's because a lot of the venues that we've been using have been closed for quite a long time. Well, until more recently, obviously. And that's probably also down to just people weren't being sure. Because I think some people don't realise that, you know, a lot of these tours are booked, you know, maybe 6 months or maybe further down, or depends, or further down the line. So, you know, some people, I think some tours, they've decided to just leave it for this year.
Yeah.
Because everything's still up in the air. I mean, we've been quite busy with our own rescheduled shows and shows we'd already booked in for the autumn. So we've got our Beat Connection, that old sort of mini party festival at South Street Arts Centre this Saturday, and we've got a load of shows next week, like four in a row, a couple of Reading shows. Well, most of the Reading shows actually, got like Chubby and the Gang, no, Willie Mason, Chubby and the Gang, who's the other one? Anna Meredith in Oxford, the Academy there, and This Is the Kit, which is now at the Concert Hall. So that'd be a beautiful sort of show to end that week with. So yeah, we've got quite a lot going on. But I think wider scope, I think people are starting to feel their way back in. Like, no, it's the Turtle, something that's a couple of gigs again and stuff. So I think tentatively people are starting to kind of look to do a bit more. And you know, hopefully like Christmas will be good, and next year we'll be a bit more normal, a bit more stable, hopefully.
So I wanted to ask you about you sent me an email on Saturday. You've got a gig at South Street Arts Centre, and this email has got a lot of words in it, and some of them I don't understand. So it's a dual room all dayer. What's a dual room all dayer, Dave?
It's just a fancy way of saying we're using both the rooms, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
So at South Street Arts Centre, you've got the theatre room, which is the main room, and then you've got the studio room, which is about half the size. So what we do with Beat Connection is that we open doors about 3 o'clock, live music starts from about 4, and then we normally have like the first couple of acts in the sort of studio, get people sort of settled in, you know, get a drink, what have you, and then when it gets later in the afternoon, sort of early evening time, then we open the theatre and then kind of run both rooms off one another, so as one act finishes, another one starts, basically.
So it's all sort of quick turnaround stuff and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, South Street. I know South Street Arts Centre. You're usually based in one of the offices at South Street Arts Centre, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, based upstairs.
And obviously, that venue's now kind of fully open, isn't it? As far as I'm aware.
Yeah, they've started doing events. They've got some kids entertainment on as we speak, actually.
Do you know what? I thought I did hear some kids in the background. I did wonder if you just invited some in just to experience the promotion of music.
It's not like experience kids. It's a lot smaller. They're back doing comedy and music and, you know, the new sort of program, really. They've got a very busy year because obviously they do events for external, you know, promoters like ourselves and comedy theatre, etc. But also do a lot of their own events. So I know they've had to, obviously they were closed for, you know, for the majority of the whole time. So their calendar is pretty crazy in terms of lots of rescheduled events and things that we're going to do anyway. So yeah, they're very, very busy between now and I guess the next year or so, just trying to kind of catch up with themselves a little bit, as well as all the new stuff they're looking to do.
Is that your favourite venue?
South Street?
Yeah,
it probably is, actually, yeah. Well, we're definitely one of them. And, you know, I spend a lot of time here, so.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
So, yeah, so even if I didn't, it's probably sort of, you know, Stockholm syndrome, realising it. But, it's definitely, I think also, I mean, I don't get there as much. The World Centre now, probably then, kind of its time, but the Rice and Arts Centre, I always like going there. It always feels like you're going to someone's house. Well, probably basically are going to someone's house. I like the fact actually that most of the venues in Reading have their own sort of personality, I think. I mean, the Face Bar is always, I've never done a show that doesn't have a good vibe to it for some reason. I don't know if it's maybe slightly out of the way for some people, or it seems like out of the way, which it's not far really, but I think it has that. I think if you got across the dual carriageway or motorway to get to, I think some people it's further away than it is. But was that drawing shows there? Obviously, the Turtle was the Turtle. I mean, the Turtle for our list thing was just like absolutely rocking. It was great to see. It was kind of you wouldn't have thought something was going on.
Yeah,
you know, like it did feel like the old days actually. That was really great to see.
With Are You Listening? Do you have a lot to do on the day, or are you able to just sit down and plan a sort of route around where you want to go and where you want to be?
No, there's always to do. I mean, you know, this year we said we'd try to see more bands over what's been going on the last few years, and I saw a bit more but like, you know, the music goes on for about 12 hours. I maybe saw an hour and a half or something. Not a lot. I mean, also it's just good, like we're always kind of curious to see how, you know, how the venues are going, like, you know, and also how, you know, also there's issues to sort out on the day, whatever, but generally speaking, there was nothing major this year. Like, kind of, it sort of takes care of itself to a degree these days, and we're quite fortunate that a lot of people who work on it have been doing it for a number of years, so everyone kind of knows, you know, what they're doing. And but yeah, I don't know how many miles I walked. I did a lot of mileage just walking around to venues to venue and some bits and pieces out. I managed to see a couple of acts I really wanted to see, so which doesn't always happen. So
yeah,
so I'm quite happy about that. But it's a really long day, you know, we're here in the morning, and then, you know, time's all done, it's like early hours of the morning. So it's a long day.
Yeah. And just in terms of what's coming up then, obviously, for Saturday, where can people go to find out more and get any tickets?
Oh, for Beat Connection, yeah. So yeah, Beat Connection this Saturday, so 30th October. People could either go to our website, which is heavypop.co.uk, or they go to the WatsonReading.com website, the Reading Arts one, to buy tickets for that. So tickets are currently £20.
Yeah.
Plus booking fees, a bit more on the day. And there's, I think it's like, I can't remember how many bands we've got now, like 10, 12 bands, I think, across both rooms. Got Tutu. You've probably met Tutu before, but Tutu doing an Ethiopian food.
Yeah.
He's going to do a food stall for us, and that always goes in really well. Everyone likes food. And obviously, Double Barrel are now the
on the pumps. Here. Yeah.
So that's obviously nice. So again, like another kind of, you know, it's not a very independent feel to it, really. Which is lovely.
And what's coming up? What can we look out for over the next sort of weeks and months?
Well, a lot's happening next sort of week, really. So I mean, yeah, Beat Connection on Saturday. And then on Wednesday, the 3rd of November, back at South Street again, we've got American sort of folky singer-songwriter Willie Mason. And he's always great live. And then we've got a punk band called Chubby and the Gang at the Face Bar on the Thursday. And then on Friday, there's an Oxford, we've got Anna Meredith, who's a classical composer, electronic artist at the Academy there. And then we're doing on Saturday, we've got This Is The Kit, sort of folky rock act, playing at the concert hall. That's my theatre show, so that's going to be really special. You know, it's not often you do a lot of shows in there. It's grade 2 listed as well, so it's quite, you know, it's a beautiful space to be in, actually. And we're also doing John Hopkins there on Sunday, the 21st of November. And that's going to be pretty special. We're hiring like a grand piano. Yeah. It's going to be like sort of a piano string set, but also still do the electronic elements as well. So that's been really special. So we've got some exciting stuff lined up with some other gigs in December as well. We've got Beans and Toast at the Face Bar. He always goes down.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah, great guy. Always really entertaining. Like, you know, people love his show. We're focusing on the festivals next year. Are you listening? In particular. We'll be keeping busy.
Excellent. Well, just before we kind of round off and move on to chatting to Pete about the Market Yard. What, obviously that's going to be a new venue. I presume that is all round a good thing that new places are opening up. We've talked about it a lot on the podcast over the last couple of weeks, largely because all of us who've been on the podcast regularly used to work in that building, so we've got quite an affinity with that building. It's a bit special. So, I presume it's good. There's new venues opening. There's not sort of a flooded market or anything like that.
No, it's great news. More the merrier. You know, I mean, it's normally the case you hear venues closing down or under threat, not opening. So, I think it's a really positive thing for the town. And, I know Pete's put some pretty exciting, interesting stuff. So, hopefully, I mean, I'm intrigued to go there myself when it's open. So, I hope people embrace it. And, yeah, should be offering something different. It's always a good thing, I think.
Yeah. Dave, thanks very much for your time. Thanks for coming on. And undoubtedly, we'll speak soon. Just remind everybody of the Heavy Pop website where people can go and find out everything they need to know about what's coming up.
Yeah, so if people want to find out about shows and read about tickets or information, just go to heavypop.co.uk or on socials. It's just at Heavy Pop Promo.
Dave, thanks very much.
Cheers, Tom.
The Big Interview.
Hi, everybody. I am here with Pete Wheeler.
Hello.
I've had to keep Pete and Dave Moore apart, such as the intensity of their rivalry in the Reading booking of music scene.
It's so fierce.
Absolutely. I mean, I told the story of how you ripped the contract for booking the Market Yard from Dave's.
Oh, utterly. Yeah. Not having that, you know. Ooh, no.
Absolutely dreadful. Yeah. Just, that's not his thing. That's mine. Yeah. Do you have a patch? Do you like square up at, you know, when you go into each other's?
We do a lot of stare offs. Yeah. We do stare offs in various places. Like last night, we did a stare off at Wagamama's after a drink in the pub. You know, we do that. We kind of stare. Like, you know, with real intent at each other while we're actually enjoying each other's company at pubs and restaurants, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to keep your enemies close. That's the thing, isn't it?
Really? Oh, you think so? Oh, couldn't possibly confirm or deny that, Tom. No.
Pete, let's move on to serious matters. We have been talking about the Market Yard on
the podcast
for the last couple of weeks. Obviously, you're well informed about that because you listen every week and are up to speed. So you will know that a number of people on this podcast who have appeared regularly on this podcast used to work in that very building.
I am aware.
Boy, oh boy, if walls could talk. So Market Yard, tell us a little bit about it. I mean, you are the sort of, as far as we're concerned, the figurehead. I know you're booking the music, but at the moment for us, you may as well be the figurehead. So tell us what you know.
So what I know is that Market Yard actually began this summer initially as an outdoor food and drinks market over in the King's Meadow. And what they've done now is they've got the lease on your old workplace the old workplace of quite a few people there. Mm. So basically they're going to be using it as a 1,200 capacity food and drinks market with entertainment from the 26th of November until the 23rd of December. And I have been brought in to book as many interesting and fun entertainments to occur during that time. And we announced all of that yesterday.
I presume Dave just wasn't available.
Well, you know, I couldn't.
Sorry.
I couldn't say you're really going with this.
I've got one joke and let's string it out for us. No. So, okay. It sounds excellent. It's funny because so Rach and I have both discussed about this sort of thing. I know when they cleared the print presses out of there, it was a sad day, but we did look at it and a few of us sort of said this would be great for some gigs or something. I was thinking Model Village, but you know, someone else suggested it'd be great. There's a great big space for some gigs. There's nothing else. You know, there's no one that can really complain about it.
Maybe a giant scale electrics or a domino topple.
That kind of stuff.
Record-breaking domino topples. I could definitely see it working for one of them.
Exactly. And because there's lots of different holes in different parts of the building. There's one room in there in further along in the building. And Rachel and I discussed this last week, I think, or the week before. There is one building where it's actually the door is completely locked shut because there's a massive hole in the floor where an extension of the print press had to go. So look out for that.
Try and get some tape, maybe white and red tape around it.
I think we're possibly making it sound more dangerous than it actually would be. But all I'm saying is look out for rugs carefully placed on floors.
Oh, craggy, thank you. Well, I have been there. I visited a couple of weeks ago, and I have to say I was really... It did make me even more excited than I already was about this project, because I think it's going to be an amazing space, particularly the main room, which has got the kind of balcony along the top, along one side and then the back, because that's where the DJs are going to be and where live acts are going to perform from. And then there will be various lights and production going on around that with everyone then seated on the floor. So I had to envisage that a lot in the same way that you knew it as one thing, then you saw it empty. I'm seeing it empty and then going to have to think of it as something else. And but I really am looking forward to this opening.
So as the booker, who have you booked? Who would the people of Reading be most keen on, do you think?
Okay, well, I like to think that the people of Reading are a very courteous lot. They like all sorts of different things, have eclectic music taste, because that's what we're going for with this.
Yeah.
The opening Friday, the 26th of November, we have DJ Yoda. If you've never seen him before, he's just an amazing cut-paced DJ who is unashamedly fun and brings in things like 80s TV themes with hip-hop classics and will always put a smile on your face. So had to be a bit of Yoda for the opening night, and also some really good local hip-hop acts that are going to be supporting them. So that's one side of things. Then we've got some big names like Horsemeat Disco, DJ Paulette, Raw Silk, which is very much kind of current disco DJs that are playing all of the festivals, that some many of which I've seen myself do sets, who but have that brilliant kind of knack of playing really good stuff that people are going to enjoy before 11 o'clock, because it does close at 11. It's not a club, that I do want to make clear. It really is a food and drinks market, but with really, really decent entertainment. But then the other end of the scale here as well is we've very much gone for the fun party stuff. So we've got people like E17 doing a live set. Wow. We have an Adele tribute act. We have Ultimate Power, which is a power ballads night, which I highly recommend. I've been at Glastonbury. You're literally just there singing your heart out to, you know, You're the Voice or anything else. There's so much fun to be had there. Equally guilty pleasure to see the proper club night from London are bringing their drag queens, DJs and dancers down. There's loads, really. I think it is well worth people having a look on the website and saying, I do believe genuinely there's something for everyone here.
And what do we know about the sort of the food or the market side of it? What do we know about that?
So that's still coming together now. That's going to be a combination of some of the stalls that were very successful for them and did well at the events that they've done. Because the people who run Market Yard, also ran a four-day festival at Palmer Park this summer.
Yeah.
With acts including the House and Garage Orchestra, a fantastic local duo called Twin Sun. They performed there. Self-plug. And also they had like Chase and Status on another day. So they've already done something which was to a lot of people. And the food stalls that work well there will be there. But also they've already been connected with all of the good local fooderies that we see all the time at all the local craft beer places and various festivals that Dave and I have done in the past or are still doing. So it's, you know, there's going to be a nice combination.
Do you know if there are, and this is niche only really for me and several colleagues, but do you know if there's any nods to the building's previous life?
The only thing I know, and this was do you remember the big aircon units that were kind of up on those balconies?
Oh, yes.
Because I was looking up at them and they've got this fantastic little like sort of round circular bits that stick out of them. And they're going to be turned into moving disco lights.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're utilizing some of the things that were left behind. Obviously, there isn't still any kind of print elements.
No.
It's all been gutted, really, which does give it that incredible sort of industrial look, which I'm someone who does like my clubbing. So I've been to Printworks multiple times in London and I've been to Warehouse Projects. And there is something quite exciting about being in one of these spaces that is so high and kind of gives it this sort of strange industrial atmosphere while you're there eating your food, having a nice double barrel beer and you know, listening to some DJ Yoda, for example.
and I think my final question really is people who had never worked there will almost certainly not be aware of, but I would certainly recommend Google Street Viewing this, the world's tiniest multi-story car park out the back. Is that getting any use? I suspect it's probably more of a safety concern than actually. But
the multi-story. So how many stories are we talking here?
Oh, from memory, it's about four.
Wow, okay.
It's quite incredible. Next time you're there, go and have a little look at the. It was a single track in, single. Right. So it's.
Oh wow!
If someone was coming in and someone was coming down.
Then danger. It's like one of those toy car ones that we all played with.
Yeah, pretty much.
But try and have a little wee.
But somehow they managed to get this multi-story car park in the back of this building. So
I will seek it out. I was mainly inside, but I did see outside because the food stalls themselves are going to be outside. There's going to be an outside area as well as the inside bit. So, you know, real mix of different areas being used. It's all on the website. They've kind of given them all little themes. I will make sure I investigate the...
There's also attached to that car, and this will mean absolutely nothing to anybody. And they've probably stopped listening by now because it's becoming me again.
Never self-indulgent, not this
podcast. But there's a little garage just attached to that. And I would bet if you had a look in there, there's probably still some Reading Monopoly. I would imagine.
What needs to happen, I think you need to come to the opening night, sir. I think you need to be down there and you need to find all the little treats, like a little treasure hunt for you.
Oh, it'd be wonderful.
Of days gone by.
Oh, it was wonderful, good fun time. So, Pete, when is Market Yard opening? Because I know it's had a couple of moves.
That's right. It's had to move back 2 weeks, but we are all now go for the Friday, the 26th of November. And like I say, what will happen initially is it will open from Thursday to Sunday. For those first couple of, Friday to Sunday on the first weekend, then I think it's, that's it. Then when we get into December, probably it'll be from Wednesday. So this, it, there's already, whatever events we've already announced, which is the vast majority, they're already up on the website. But there will be more little things being added in because there's lots of ideas still going around in our heads. But the vast majority is there. And yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
So what's the website where people can go and find out a bit more information?
Cool. So it's www.marketyard.co.uk. It's all there.
Fantastic. Pete Wheeler, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Cheers, Tom.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.